And who better to have with us than CFL Commissioner Randy Ambrosi. Randy, how are you today, sir?
Jim, I think it is safe to say that I'm having a good day.
As opposed to earlier in the week.
I would say earlier in the week there was a little bit of indigestion and some heartburn, but today it's nothing but smiles and good feelings.
Okay, now the CBA is done, and the preseason starts, and the regular season, I mean, the business is done, and now the games take over. But before we get there, I want to go back to just because of, you know, you are the CFL commissioner, you were a Canadian player, you were drafted in the CFL draft. So, I mean, obviously it's a debatable subject, and a lot of people have a lot of things to say about it. So the decision to go with less playing time for starting Canadians, that whole thing, can you take us through that and why that was so important?
Well, you know, it's it is a complex issue, but Jim, it really comes down to a few things. Number one, all of our market research suggests that the next generation of CFL fans are all about competition and excellence. And we kept hearing that over and over again, that if we want to earn that next generation of fans, they want the best players playing, and they want a high level of competition. So, you know, you kind of start as a, let's call that one foundation stone. You know, the second is that I think we've come to appreciate, and our coaches have told us, they just need more roster flexibility. So often, Jim, this is not a question of Canadian talent. This is a question of depth, and it often boils down to, you know, when you get injuries, do you have the depth it takes to remain competitive? So that was another factor. We heard from our coaches that they needed some flexibility to make sure they could get the best players onto the field, especially when injuries occurred. And then finally, look, I think just to make it absolutely clear, Jim, this is not a question of whether we think Canadians can compete. It's that we believe and we know they can. And frankly, if you just look around the world of sport today, Canadians are proving themselves in every sport on the planet. They're obviously proving themselves in hockey. They're proving themselves. We've got in the NFL, we've got now 24 Canadians on NFL rosters. They're proving themselves in the NBA. They're proving themselves in Major League Baseball. Canadians can compete. We know they can, and we know this generation of Canadians may be the best generation in our history. So, you know, we know our Canadians can compete. And so, look, I think this addressed significant issues for us. It puts our league in a position to raise the level of our game. And Jim, I think we are asking our Canadian players to compete, and I know they'll rise to that challenge.
Okay, I mean, obviously it's an emotional subject, and I'm not going to belabor this, but I mean, you were a Canadian player. The owners are Canadian. I mean, it had to be a difficult conversation to even start this process.
Yeah, it is, Jim, but if we want to take the game to the next level, look, I hear from CFL fans in every city that I visit. I hear them demanding and wanting us to find that next generation of CFL fans. You know, they want us to do more to grow our game. They're so proud of who we are. But in wanting to meet that challenge that the fans are demanding of us, you have to talk to the next generation of fans. And you have to understand how they perceive us. And this generation are absolutely clear. They want competition and they want excellence. And look, Jim, if I was at all concerned that our Canadian athletes couldn't compete, this would be a real tough issue for me. But, you know, for generations going, you know, from Normie Kwong right through to the great Canadians that play today, Canadians have proven over and over and over again that they can compete. And then, Jim, the other side of this is that, you know, to reward the Americans who come into our communities and play and compete and live and work and make a contribution, this is for roster continuity. And that's, again, something that our fans have been, you know, demanding and passionate about. So, you know, this gives us a chance to keep our American players longer on our rosters and reward them for the contributions they make. And look, by the way, under the banner of nationalized Canadians, two of the greatest in the history of our league, Ron Lancaster and Angela Mosca, played as nationalized Canadians. And so, you know, I think it's hard to argue that those two gentlemen weren't just as Canadian as those of us who were born here.
Absolutely. As a kid, you know, watching both those guys play, you discovered what country they were born in later, because you just assumed that they were Canadian, and they were obviously pillars of the CFL. So I totally agree with that point. So that's the sort of the hot button part of the CBA. What's underrated about this CBA?
Well, there's a lot. First of all, you know, it's a long-term deal, so now we can focus on building our partnership with the players. I think that was number one. You know, we went into this wanting to build the framework for a different kind of relationship with our players, less transactional and more about building something together. There's revenue sharing in this CBA, so now we can focus on how do we grow the game together. There's guaranteed contracts in this contract for the players, and that again will give us an opportunity to retain our players and more roster continuity. That's really positive. You know, Jim, kind of everywhere you look, there were things that the players wanted, and we knew they were important. And I'm so proud of our bargaining committee, and frankly, Jim, I'm proud of the players' bargaining committee as well, because I think they came together and gave us the foundation, this framework I talk about, for the kind of partnership we want to have. So I think this sets the table for us to, instead of being across the table, which has so often been our relationship with the players, we now get to sit on the same side of the table and sit next to each other and focus on growing this league.
You know, Randy, the premise of hammering out a CBA after fractured years that you've had with revenue, and some years with no revenue, the one year with nothing, I mean, it's nothing short of phenomenal that way, in that respect, isn't it?
Well, yeah, Jim, it is. And, you know, you got to give a ton of credit to our governors, to our owners. I mean, they're high-minded. They see a great future for our league. They encouraged us to make an investment in this relationship with our players and build a future oriented. And of course, you know, we also acknowledged that it was a couple of tough years on the players. So, you know, we all had to come together and find a way to change the nature of our relationship, build something different, and set the table for a great future. And I think that's exactly what we've done today. I have nothing but accolades for the two bargaining committees, because I think they delivered something special.
Okay, so you got a solid base to move forward with. Does that favor expansion to Atlantic Canada?
Well, I think it just generally favors the future. Start there. You know, look, the trifecta of great developments of, you know, in the last year, the creation of a revenue sharing model. This was really important, I think, if we want to be a great league, and we got that done. Then there's the partnership with Genius Sports, which is going to give us access to, you know, marketing capabilities that we haven't had in the past. And then finally, this long-term partnership with our players. I think now is the time for us to, you know, get excited for our existing CFL owners and the future owners of our teams, including in an expansion context. And, you know, we're going to get to work on conversations about expansion. You know, our owners have asked us, and you know, we've promised them that we'll do it right, but we're going to get real serious in the days ahead. And look, we need to be in Atlantic Canada. I believe that. I think it's the one piece of the Canadian puzzle that, you know, has eluded us for far too long. And now we're going to sit down with the group that we've been talking to and talk about how do we build Canada's 10th franchise? How do we get that long overdue franchise in Atlantic Canada? So, Jim, it's, you know, for me, it's going to be a big priority in the days to come.
Randy, as you know, the league is strong in some areas, attendance-wise, Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver. There's room for improvement, to say the very least. What's the concern level about that?
Well, I think, again, so many of the things that we've done in this CBA and things we did in the relationship with Genius Sports were all designed to help us market our game better, to reach a new generation of fans. Jim, that's why this product review we did this past winter was so important, because it really talked to sports fans, and we got really great feedback on what they wanted. You know, they want the game to be fun, fast, and flowing, and they want exciting. You know, the moving of the hash marks, I think, is going to give us an opportunity to really open up our game and take advantage of this giant field that I think is really the hallmark of the CFL game, and that's going to help us in our big markets. And look, from Gary Stern and his family in Montreal and their commitment to growing and building in that market, to MLSE here in Toronto and their commitment to the league, and then to Amar Doman and what he's talking about, what he's got plans for in BC. I think the future is bright. Jim, no doubt, we're going to have to work really hard, and nothing worth having in life comes easy. I just think we've got the right people at the right time, and I know they're committed to rolling up their sleeves, on the strength of a whole lot of good news that we've been, worked hard to achieve. I think I think the future's bright in those three cities, and I think it's actually brighter than ever in the CFL in general.
I think I probably asked you this once before, but now that you're several years into your role as commissioner of the CFL, how much different is it than you thought, and maybe some positive surprises along the way?
Well, I think it's obviously, when I look back, I think, the Montreal situation, with the Wettenhalls deciding to step away was a real challenge. Of course, Jim, none of us anticipated the pandemic and effect it would have on our families, on the world of sports. And obviously it was a very difficult time, for humanity, less for sports, but very difficult. And I think now, I think we've taken advantage of those tough times. I think the thing that I'm most proud of, Jim, I'm most proud of the governors. I'm most excited about how committed they are to the future of the league, how much support they give for the, the bold, ambitious plans that we've set in front of them, and how much they're prepared to support those plans. I think in that way, I think the greatest surprise for me, and it's just because you just don't know what to expect from your partners, and I've been overwhelmed by the level of commitment we've seen from the governors. The relationship that we built with our team presidents and the way we collaborate and work together has been a real bright spot for me. So, and now, of course, I'm looking forward to a stronger, mutually beneficial partnership with the players, and I'm excited about that. So, I think just generally you go into a job like this, you certainly can't anticipate the major events, and nobody would have anticipated the pandemic, but I'm awful proud to have stood shoulder to shoulder with our governors during this time, and I think that for me has been the most gratifying thing.
Randy, really appreciate your time. Nice to reconnect, and happy to see Toronto and Ottawa, 7:30 on TSN tonight. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim. Have a great day and look after yourself.
I will. Thank you. That's Randy Ambrosi, the CFL commissioner.